Right, welcome to the GMBN podcast. This is a special one because I've got none other than Brooke McDonald, Red Bull athlete, absolute superstar, and a man with quite a story at the moment. Brooke, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good, thanks, Martin. It's it's good to be talking to you. I know, we've been dealing with the same things and. Yeah, it's stoked.
Unfortunately, we have a lot in common.
Yes, it's a lot in common.
Oh man! So okay, for anyone who doesn't know, let's get the story in frame here. Okay, so was it around this time last year? It's pretty close.
Yeah, right? August last year.
Dude, you tell us about it. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a normal day. I had finals practice for world champs. It was my first run. Literally dropped in and felt really good. Like stopped at one section to have a look. Was scoping some lines out. Walked back up to my bike, hit the line perfect, and I kind of knew that, like, I just felt like everything was going to click, and it was just going to be one of those perfect runs. It wasn't fast. Everything I did was smooth right up until the accident. And then, come around like this 90-degree turn into the rock roll where I crashed. And, my back wheel caught on a small route, which put me offline and sent me over the bars. I was on the ground paralyzed.
Oh man, it's so scary. I mean, I was watching all of the Instagram clips of that weekend, and you were absolutely hauling down the track. That amazing fast section where you seem to, I mean, you've got a knack to be able to really carry momentum. I mean, there's no other rider in the downhill scene that seems to be able to do that the way you do. Maybe a couple of other guys. Bruni, maybe, that you just kind of chatter across the top of the ground and just hammer through that stuff. And that was all happening for you that weekend.
I honestly felt, I felt like I could have won that race. Mm. But, these things happen. And, I honestly don't regret anything. I don't, wish it didn't happen, because at the end of the day, I've learned so much, and it just gives you a bigger outlook on life and how fast it can change.
Yeah, I mean, I can relate to that, because it's a really weird sensation when you've been through such a big injury, because immediately afterwards you're wishing it hasn't happened, of course, but then a year after it's happened, like you say, you've been through so many things that are hard to. You can't help but grow from those things and learn.
Yeah.
And then you think, well, if I take the accident away, I don't know those things. So it's kind of a weird situation.
Exactly.
What do you think about how to calculate risk and justify risk? How's it changed or has it changed your thoughts about that at all? Because a lot of people would look at riders like yourself and think, why are they putting their lives on the line and pushing it, especially someone like yourself who's been through so much?
Yeah, I guess it's just the mentality of an athlete. I mean, it's all I've ever grown up of doing is racing my bike, and from day dot, that was my biggest goal, was to be able to race my bike again. And I think the mindset I had was that I was not going to quit. This wasn't going to end my career. And I think the mindset and the mentality is a massive part of it. And I think it's like anything that you do, like any professional job you have, like, a setback is not going to stop you from, doing that job again. So I think the best outlook is to have a good mental strength and good people around you. I think all that sort of stuff really, really is important.
What was the kind of messages you were getting from kind of the medical guys at sort of immediately after the accident, maybe the first immediate reactions and then the first sort of days and weeks? What was the information you were getting in terms of the permanence or non-permanence of it? Were they saying spinal shock, let's wait and see, it could get better? Or were they giving you messages of like, don't know what's going to happen here?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't have much information, which was a good thing for me because I didn't know what was going on. And like, you know, each day more and more sensations were coming back in my legs, so it was more hope for me. Especially when I stood up 2 days after surgery, like I was just like, yeah, this is it. I feel like I can only progress from here. The surgeon, yeah, he never really said anything to me about being able to walk again. He just said to me that the surgery was really successful. He was happy with what he did. And, I think that was probably the best thing for me because I can imagine it's pretty hard being told that you potentially can't walk again. And I think that's probably the last thing that you want to hear. I think from that I really gained a lot of hope and being able to, you know, live a normal life again and being able to ride my bike. So yeah, I think it was good. And I know my girlfriend was told that there was a potential I couldn't walk, but she kept that to herself and never hang to me until probably, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months ago.
Yeah. Amazing. That is incredible. So what was the surgery they did? What was it that the, were they just stabilizing the sort of skeletal structure or what?
Yeah, so they put 2 rods and 8 screws in. They did from T11 to L3.
Nice.
And then T12 was the fracture and L1 was the burst fracture. So the L1 was the one that was pushing on my spinal cord.
Yeah.
Which obviously was, making me not have no sensation in my lower half of my legs. Once they did that and took all the pressure off the spinal cord and decompressed the spine, I instantly noticed feeling coming back into my legs, probably more so my top half. Like my quads, that was like, I never had any funny sensations or anything in them, but it was more so the bottom of my legs and the behinder of my legs. You can probably relate to it as well. I had real bad burning sensations down the back of my
Eyes. Tell me about it. I tell you what, nerve pain is the worst. It's relentless.
It is. I try to explain to people what it feels like, and you can't explain it because it's just such a different feeling. You probably still get it now, and I still have some problems, not big problems in my lower legs, but, you know, for example, standing on stones and bare feet, like, sends sort of little shocks up the side of my legs, and if I hop into cold water, all that sort of thing. But, you know, it's slowly coming back.
Yeah, no, I get that. The nerve pain I've got has never really gone, but it's really weird. It's sort of almost outside of where my body actually is. It's like an imaginary space that's just not real. It's like almost like a backside that's not there, or the tops of my legs that aren't there. But it doesn't really go away. And it's weird. The moment you think about it, now we're talking about it, I've got it going.
Really?
Because my mind's on it. But if I can get my mind off it, it'll just kind of
stop,
fall into the background, and I sort of, it's just a buzz.
Right.
But the moment I sort of think about it, it's like, bang, it's there straight away. And I'm like, it's really sucks. But actually, I know that I haven't got it too bad. I know a lot of people who've got, like, it really does affect their day. You know, they can't do the day because they're just on crazy you know, pills to dope them up and get rid of the pain. But so that sucks. So, I mean,
I heard that it can be really bad. And give you like nerve spasms as well, where your legs sort of.
Yeah, you can get really bad spasms. I had a little bit at the start, but not so much now. I think that was more that where I still had some muscle in my legs, I was getting a nerve reaction, but where the sort of atrophy in my legs is, you know, there's no muscle there now. I don't really get much going on. So mine's a pretty simple situation. It's like conk, the light is a line and everything below is gone. There's no feeling, no sensation. And sometimes I think that's a blessing because I know that, like, so for listeners, that's called a complete injury. And then there is a incomplete spinal injury, which means you might have movement but no pain, or you might have no movement and all the pain, or whatever. It can be very complicated, and that sometimes sounds worse.
I think if I was in a situation where I didn't have any feelings in my legs, I would have liked to have been like that, just, you know, no feeling and not have to deal with any of that.
And imagine no movement but all the pain. Oh man, that would suck so bad. I bet some poor bastard's got that. It really is the worst. Yeah, such a complicated injury.
It is, and it's people don't realize how bad of an injury it is. Like, you know, I mean, before my accident, I would see people in wheelchairs, and I'd know what had happened, but it wouldn't cross my mind like, oh, maybe I could end up in that situation one day, until it actually happens to you. And then I actually have so much respect to people like yourself and everyone else that has
that's nice for you to say
has this situation. It's pretty cool, because I mean, at the end of the day, you can, you know, do whatever, you know, you make things out of a bad situation, and it's pretty cool and inspiring to see.
Yeah, you got to learn from it, man. You know, you're like what you're doing. I mean, you're probably going to be twice the racer you were for the knowledge you've got now, and that's what it's all about. You've got to grow, you know. It's a really weird situation. I've had a similar situation where I've been talking to someone with a worse injury than me, and I can almost hear what I said to them and what you could say to me is that it's like, God, it's, I can imagine it can be so, you know, a higher injury, it gets worse and worse. And I've spoke to someone who's, you know, like a tetraplegic, you know, and they've got no movement in their arms or limited movement in their arms. And I can't imagine what that's like, you know. I don't know, but
it must be so difficult to live a life that like that. I know a guy that I follow who's from New Zealand. He's a tetraplegic, and he does a lot of his stuff in his wheelchair from his mouth.
Yeah, and that's amazing.
It's amazing how they can do that. But I know it must be pretty tough to live a life like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's inspiring stuff. So in terms of the justifying the risk, you don't really see things any different to how you did before. It's like, it's race time. I mean, I've been watching your riding this last few days on your Instagram posts. Looks like you're moving pretty quickly. you sounds like you justify the risk the same as you did before your accident. You know, you're like hauling ass down the track and going as fast as ever and loving it. And I guess some people wouldn't necessarily understand that, but when someone has been out on their bike, a regular everyday rider, and they have an accident, nothing as serious as, say, a spinal cord injury, but, you know, like they break a leg, or what would be your recommendation of, like, not recommendation, advice on how do they what steps do they take to get back and get back fit and strong and in the positive mindset that you've got?
That's a hard one, because for me, I felt like my spinal injury, it wasn't easy getting back to where I am, but from experience with like shoulder injuries, I felt like it was more difficult to rehab that and then hop on my bike and ride with the confidence I did before. Whereas now I felt like, you know, when I first hopped on my bike, I felt like I hadn't lost any confidence. My confidence is still there. Obviously, I still had a lot of stuff to improve on and strength and coordination and all that sort of stuff. But I really felt like this injury hadn't been a big setback for me in confidence, in mental strength and things like that. I really felt like I dealt with it really well. But, it just seems different to, like I said, my shoulder injury to my back injury. I feel like I was a lot more cautious with my shoulder injury than I was to my back injury. I don't know if it's mentally that your back is the furthest part away from your shoulders, your knees, your legs. I don't know, but it just felt different. And I think probably, I don't know, the best advice I could give anyone that is dealing with any sort of injury, I mean, it is difficult dealing with any sort of injury. And I think it's probably like the biggest thing is focusing on the rehab, setting goals, having good people around you, and just being determined to get back to where you were before your accident.
Yeah, I mean, I think setting goals is a really good piece of advice, because, I mean, if you just kind of have a wishy-washy plan, it's going to be really difficult to stay on schedule with rehab. And, I mean, rehab takes a lot of patience and a lot of...
it does.
I think it kind of, you know, you've got to get that consistency in there. Like you said, a shoulder injury like you've had in the past, if you don't get that joint stable again, you're toast, you know, you just can't, you can't handle it.
You're just going to have problems again. I feel with my back, you know, there was a spinal cord injury, but the bones around it are going to mend twice as strong. So, yeah, I don't know. It felt a lot different to the other injuries that I've had before.
Yeah. I was just thinking then, there's some sort of comedy when we're talking about how it feels to have a spinal cord injury. And it's like, well, it doesn't feel like much. Sorry. I've got a terrible sick humor. It's not for everybody. Because, I mean, it's so cool that you've been able to document this journey, because it's an incredible story and it's going to be so inspiring. So tell me about that a bit. What?
Yeah, I guess for me, I just wanted to keep everyone on my social media, all my fans, the people that were watching me, updated of how I was doing in life, because, you know, I felt like that, you know, if I didn't post anything or I was posting something every 3 or 4 months, I felt like people would be sitting there worrying and wondering what is going on. Whereas, you know, I just felt like I needed to document my life over the past year and what I've been through and, you know, every exercise that I've done, of, you know, my first steps that I took. And I really feel like it has probably helped a lot of people out there with, you know, injuries that they're dealing with, or whatever mental problems that people are struggling with. And, you know, I just wanted to show people that, you know, there is a second chance at life, and, you know, it's, you don't need to give up as easy as it is.
What's your thoughts on 2020 and how all the COVID stuff has got in the way of racing? Because I guess for you, you kind of like, maybe you can look at it and go, ah, so there you go, everyone's on a level playing field now, because no one's getting the race practice.
Yeah, I honestly had a big goal set in mind for myself. It was probably, you know, probably a big goal to some people, to majority of people, but to myself it was, you know, my ultimate goal, and that was to be back racing in Croatia, which was, I think, in May. And I had my rods removed, I think it was March, start of March, I hadn't taken out. So I had sort of planned everything. You know, I'd trained really hard and done everything I could to right till that surgery, and then I was preparing myself for the recovery and then getting back into training and preparing myself for Croatia. And then obviously all this COVID stuff happened, and yeah, we haven't had any races since, but it's definitely been a blessing in disguise for me, because it's given me more of the chance to get stronger, get fitter, ride my bike more. And been in Europe the last 2 weeks just riding my downhill bike, which has been amazing.
Yeah, and how do you feel? Do you feel like you're up to speed? You look like you are.
I feel like I am. I feel like I've got a good nudge in me to put a good race run down.
Oh man, I cannot wait. So when do you think will be the first time you'll be racing? Like, you know, when's the next opportunity?
Hopefully Crankworx. I wasn't going to do anything till World Champs, but I thought, you know, since I've been out for so long, I haven't had the chance to do any racing. I thought Crankworx the weekend before World Champs would be a good opportunity just to, you know, see where I am, you know, just to get back into that mental state of racing my bike fast again.
Yeah. Yeah. So how much time does that give you at the moment then? What's the sort of... I'm just trying to work out in my head, how much time would that give you?
Well, we've got two. I think it's 2 weeks until Crankworx.
That's Innsbruck, right?
Yeah, and then The following weekend is World Champs.
Oh man, so exciting! So what's the course for World Champs? I'm trying to think. It's not the same.
I'm not too sure. I feel like they probably could be building a. Pretty much a whole new track here in Leogang. I'm not too sure.
Oh, right. Okay. So it might be a completely different track altogether.
Yeah, it potentially could be.
Oh, man, that's going to be so fun to see you guys hammering down there at last. I've really missed I like everyone. We've really missed the downhill racing. I was wondering what has been the response from, you know, your fans and people following you. I bet it's been pretty hectic on your social media.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, probably for the first 3 months I had so many messages, like I mean, I barely could check half of them because they were so meaningful, and just, you know, like I didn't realize how many people out there followed me and actually cared about me. And you know, I would break down so much from reading so many different messages, and just, you know, messages from you that were really helpful for me. And then also messages from other people who have had spinal cord injuries. And it was honestly so touching just to hear how many people out there really, really cared about me and were hoping for the best. So, yeah. As I always say, I honestly can't thank them enough for all the messages, and I honestly wish I could get back to every single person, but that's a job in itself.
Yeah, I mean, I know from, you know, my experience of when I had my accident in 2013, the outpouring of support on social media, it was the one time that I could truly say, well, social media is a positive thing.
Yeah.
I generally in life think I'm skeptical about it because I think it causes a lot of problems too. And I certainly have a quite a dark relationship with it in terms of, like, I can chat and post online sometimes, and then other times I'm not in the right frame of mind. Yep. And I'm like, I don't want to be looking at everybody having a fantastic time, because that's generally what you see on social media, is everyone having all the great stuff. But I mean, there are these awesome moments where there's your, like, people like yourself, your story unfolding on social media, and it's inspiring to everyone. I mean, like when we were chatting on like direct message and stuff, I was as inspired by your journey as you know, you probably were by looking back at what people like myself have been through.
I mean, you know, what you did to ride down Fort William honestly was so inspiring to myself. And, you know, like with my accident, I honestly thought, well, you know, if I'm going to be paralyzed, I'm not, you know, it's not the end of the world. I'm going to be able to find something else to do. And, you know, like, looking back on your stuff and watching that was pretty amazing and really gave me the determination that, you know, if worse come to worse, that I could, you know, potentially do that one day.
Mm. God, I'm like, you know what? I'm glad you didn't, because you'd have been hands down the fastest disabled rider, and that would have sucked. There's already too many of them already.
It's good to see that there's so many people out there riding bikes that, you know, have the disability and just making the most of it. I mean, when I was in, when I got out of Christchurch spinal unit, there was a young boy who was, I think, about 15 or 16, had a crash on his mountain bike.
Ah.
And, he was a complete. And I went down a couple of times to see him, and the last time I was down there seeing him, I was there when I had my surgery. So popped over and seen him. And, one of the other boys who had a mountain bike accident and was a complete as well, had his three-wheel electric bike there.
Oh, the Bowhead.
Yeah, the Bowhead.
Yeah.
That thing is so sick. And this young fella hopped in it, and I'd never seen such a big smile on a kid who, you know, at 15 can't feel his legs. Like, he was so stoked, and he picked it up so easy. So, you know, those sort of things just make you happy and realize, like, how lucky I am to be.
It's so cool. I've got one of those bikes.
Your one is sick.
Yeah, it's so fun. Oh my God, it's like a dream, man. It's the first thing I've had. I mean, it was really great riding two-wheel bike again. That was awesome. I rode moto, and I've ridden downhill, of course, but the Bowhead's the first bike I've had that I can kind of ride independently. I don't have to, I don't need anyone along for the ride to help me, so I can really go out on a mountain bike ride like you normally would.
Yeah.
And that feels great, man.
So amazing.
Yeah, it's cool to get out on that bike. It's a really great
car. Those things have got so much horsepower too, eh?
Oh God, yeah, it's cool. And my one's got a slightly bigger motor on it, but they've mapped it so it's delivering a certain amount of power. But apparently there's quite a lot more that I can have. And we're looking at getting the the wires I need to be able to map it myself. But Christian, the guy who designs them, he's from he's in British Columbia. He's a wheelchair user as well, and he's designed this bike from the ground up, tested it, made about, I don't know, 50 iterations of it, created this incredible product that he sells everywhere now. He says there's quite a lot more potential in that bike that you can unleash. So I'm looking forward to doing some of that.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's going to be so good. It's going to be good. So what about other pros? What were they thinking? Have you had any reaction from the riders around you I'm sure you've had a lot of support, but do you feel like it's rattled anyone? I mean, it's scary to see a top rider get so badly injured.
I think it did rattle some people. I mean, no one, you know, I don't think they would ever tell me that, but I think just the whole situation of, you know, my accident, me being on the hill for so long and then into the hospital, et cetera, all that sort of stuff, really, I guess, probably made people scared, like the fact that if something happened to them, what situation they're going to go through. But I mean, probably from watching my recovery, I don't know, you'd say less rattled them from being able to see me from going from that to riding my bike again.
And how is the bike, what's the bike riding like? Because I guess you're on a new version of the bike at the moment. How's it feel? I mean, it must have been amazing to get get back in a relationship, building a relationship with that bike again and getting on
Yeah.
Getting on pace.
It feels like I'm riding a magic carpet.
Man, that's so what you make it look like. That's how you ride. That describes your style, I think. Magic carpet.
Thank you. I appreciate that because, I mean, a lot of people would say my riding's pretty aggressive and can be messy at times, but maybe now it's a bit different.
Yeah, I mean, I've always really enjoyed that aggressive style, but I really love seeing a downhill racer, and I love when the track allows it. And the track where you had your accident did allow it, is that you can see a rider who's letting the bike do the work and it's willing to find the limit and stay off them brakes and just travel over the ground with momentum and hold.
I feel like Mount St. Anne is the perfect track for that. Is
yeah,
the perfect track to finding your limit.
Yeah, and it's so cool to see that. I enjoy it so much. That's my favorite kind of downhill racing to watch, I think. Is to see a rider pushing that, just like you do. Yeah, I say magic carpet. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, the new bike is really good. Obviously, I didn't do any riding on the old bike, so coming to the new bike is, you know, I hadn't really done any back-to-back to notice big difference, but from when I first rode it last year in Lenzerheide, I did notice a big difference between the two bikes.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, I hopped on it straight away and felt really comfortable. I felt like I didn't need to make any changes, and yeah, I guess at the time I didn't really care because I was riding my downhill bike again. I didn't care if it didn't ride good or not. I was just so happy to be able to ride that thing again.
Yeah, it's great to see it happening. What about I guess one thing that I'd really love to touch on when we're talking, because I've always been impressed with it, is you're a Red Bull athlete. And something I've always noticed about Red Bull is they've always been fantastic when a rider, even just riders they know, let alone riders they sponsor. But I'm sure they have been a big part of your recovery and making sure you've got everything you need. How have they been involved in the journey?
Yeah, I mean, they have been amazing. When I was in Canada, Red Bull Canada were in contact with me straight away.
Yeah.
And we were kind of trying to plan what would be the fastest way to get me to rehab, because obviously I could have been out of hospital within, I think, a week maybe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were kind of just trying to find options. Like, I was going to potentially go to America and go to somewhere there, and then we found out that that place didn't really they weren't specific in spinal cord rehab. It was just more of the training center, and then they were going to fly me anywhere potentially that I could be flying to be put in rehab, but obviously my progression within those 2 weeks, I really, really gained a lot, and I was able to be sent home. But in New Zealand, we've got a pretty good health system, so everything for myself when I got home was covered for, like the spinal cord unit, everything in there. I was put in there and looked after.
Yeah. So
for Red Bull, I mean, I didn't really need them that much because I had all that there, but they helped out in small ways with sending my chiropractor down. I think they sent her down to Christchurch for, you know, probably 3 or 4 times, which really meant a lot to me because I'm quite close with my chiropractor, and she was able to work on me and help me in my recovery. Also with the training facilities they have here in Austria and America, I was able to go to America in January and work with some of their guys there and, have full tests on my body and, you know, being able to tell me what potentially I could, you know, have in supplement ways, able to heal my body and just try and regain the nerve sensation and that sort of thing. So that's that was really interesting, and being able to work with their trainers and, you know, just do specific stuff with, you know, that really focused on the spinal cord, because obviously it does so much to you. It puts everything out, all your balance, everything. So, yeah, being able to work with them and really fine-tune all that stuff was amazing.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I've always been so impressed when I've seen them. When I had my accident, Red Bull were really, I'm a friend of a few of the guys from Red Bull in the UK, and they were so quick to offer any help that I needed, you know, just to, I mean, like, we've got a fantastic health system in the UK as well, so we're really lucky that, you know, basically it was all covered and everything was fine, which is easy to take for granted, but
yeah,
it's an amazing system.
Yeah, Red Bull is really amazing. They've got a good bunch of people there, and I mean they have all the resources that the athletes need.
Yeah, it's incredible. But look, dude, I don't want to take any more of your time. It's been amazing to chat to you, and I wish you all the best with whatever happens this year, but hopefully you're going to have a more fluid season next year and you can get right into it and nail a few races. It would be great to see. But it's so inspiring to see you back on the bike. It's a joy, actually.
Thank you very much, Martin. It means a lot to me coming from you.
No, man, I appreciate it. Well, tell you what, get your dinner, get some more practicing in tomorrow. Enjoy your riding, and dude, can't wait to see you out there.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing you in person.
Yeah, thanks, man. That'd be great. Yeah, hopefully. That would be great. I don't know where that would be. I don't know where that would be next. Maybe.
Hopefully next year sometime.
Oh, I hope so, man. I hope so. All right, dude, I'll let you go. Awesome. Thanks very much. Cheers, man.
Thanks, Martin.
Take care.
See you later. Bye.